What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Boys from the East podcast. It is your host, Nicholas and Aiden, today. Joe, he had something else to do today. Couldn't make it, so that's unfortunate, but we'll work without him for today.
Yes, we will.
Yeah, well, me and Aiden make a good duo, I think, I hope. Let us know what you think of the me and Aiden duo. So, today... But today we're gonna do we're gonna talk about less topics, but like more about those topics. Cause last time we talked about a lot of stuff. This time we have less things on the agenda. But yeah, so let's get right into it. So college football. I just finished watching the Notre Dame UNC game. What a game! As a Notre Dame fan, I am disgusted. The fact that we barely beat UNC is awful. UNC is a basketball school. Let me everyone out. They're a basketball school. 6-2. I don't care that they're 25th in the country or 19th, wherever way you look at it, I don't care. They are mainly basketball and basketball only. They shouldn't even bother funding their football team because there's no point to it, okay? They should not have this opportunity, and I'm disgusted that we lost to a basketball team. I mean, we didn't lose, sorry. Bad. We won 31-17, but I'm disgusted it was that close. At least to make me happy, 38-17. And it was way too close in the beginning, too. I mean, had me on the edge of my seat the whole game. I was terrified. I was about to cry. It was so bad. And another thing I noticed from the game was LeBron James said he liked watching it. Let me just say something to LeBron James. I'm not a fan of yours anymore. Notre Dame beat Clemson. You started going off complaining that the kids were rushing the field. I don't care. We beat the number one team in the country. I'm sure you would have done the same thing if you went to college. I'm sorry you didn't go to college. Oh, that hurts. So, LeBron, please back off. Thanks for calling the game good. You probably weren't rooting for Notre Dame. Probably rooting for UNC. But please don't watch Notre Dame football. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know about football. Okay. Aiden, any comment?
Well, I watched the end of that game as well, and it was fun to watch towards the end. As me being not a huge college football fan, not really having a favorite team, it was just fun not to have a favorite team like rooting for, just watching it.
Well, when you have a favorite team, it almost made you die. I also see this celebration that was for LeBron by Mr. Williams from Notre Dame, Kareem Williams. I believe he's our running back. Let's not do this anymore. LeBron James, let's leave him alone, okay? I understand how much clout he has, but let's stay away from him. He really got me annoyed last time when he said that he doesn't think they should be storming the field and all that nonsense, but that's all right. That was an interesting game. Notre Dame probably will stay 2. UNC will probably fall back to 25, depending on which ranking you're looking at right now. The college football rankings right now, we're going to go off the playoff rankings from now on because that's, like, the most accurate because that's what the playoffs are going to be. They just released the ones the other day. And, we had Alabama 1, which is cool. Notre Dame 2, beautiful. Clemson number 3 is disgusting. Notre Dame beat them, and they only fall to 3 and only go 1 behind Notre Dame. That means Notre Dame would have to play them in the playoffs. I understand people want to watch it as a Notre Dame fan. I don't want to see that because I know it's going to be a close game, maybe too close. I believe we can win, but I don't. They have Trevor Lawrence back. Trevor Lawrence somehow does something good for them. He won't do good in the NFL. Don't worry. Ohio State 4 is fine. A&M 5. It's okay. Florida 6 is fine. Cincinnati 7. I think we need to give more love to our non-power 5 schools. BYU, I think, should have been top 10. Top 8, even. like take out Florida. Yeah, Florida, I would say. And put BYU. Maybe move Cincinnati to 6, BYU 7. But I mean, I don't know. The fact that Georgia's still here, 5-2 in the top 10 is a little weird. There's definitely schools that could hop them. North Carolina with that loss should fall to probably 25, maybe even drop out. That would be interesting to see. Coastal Carolina, I think, should be much higher. I mean, I'm talking top 15, top 12. I mean, I understand they play in a really awful division. Well, not awful in the sense that the teams are bad at their level. They're good for their level. But at the level they're playing football, it's awful because when you want to compare who makes it, you want to compare who's going to be make the playoffs between what, A&M and Coastal Carolina, you're comparing Alabama versus Troy. I mean, that is not very good. Texas State Bobcats. I mean, come on. It's a division where they have no choice to be in the division because no one expects them to do this good. But I hope they do good. I want to hope they shock the world, Coastal Carolina. Also, while I was looking at the schedule for Coastal Carolina, I saw this game against the Liberty Flames. Liberty, a very good year this year. I'm thinking they might. This will be a very interesting game. 16 versus Liberty Flames. Or were they in the playoff rankings? They're 20 in the playoff rankings. First, Liberty. Liberty lost to NC State. That's why they dropped out. They were 25, 24 around that range. I think they should be able to come back in with a few wins. I don't think they'll beat Coastal Carolina, but I think that'll be a mu very underrated game on December the 5th. So, at Brooks Stadium, I think we should all check that one out. I mean, it should be an interesting game. And what's your thoughts on this? On the football playoffs, college football playoffs.
I feel like Clemson is definitely very overrated, like with Trevor Lawrence. Because with Trevor Lawrence, I feel like they're
Like you said last week, there's a lot of other quarterbacks that are not getting enough love for how good they're doing. And I feel like Clemson, especially with the loss against Notre Dame, should have moved down a little bit farther.
yeah,
I think
definitely.
Alabama is what I've heard and seen are pretty good. Notre Dame deserves to. I haven't really heard much. Is Ohio State good?
I'll say it's decent. They're 4-0. They haven't played two crazy opponents. Indiana, they almost lost to because of Justin Fields. But, with those three picks. But I think they're okay with number four there. It's A&M or Ohio State. I see why you put Ohio State up above them because A&M has a loss to Alabama. So, yeah.
But yeah, that's BYU. That was the one that really surprised me. I looked into them. Pretty surprising going 9-0. Did they go against any hard opponents so far?
No, but BYU's good. I mean, their quarterback, oh, what's his name? Their quarterback, I forget what their quarterback's name is now. Quarterback, right here, Zach Wilson. I think he's going to be he's definitely one of the better quarterbacks in this draft class for the NFL. But BYU, you know, they played Houston. I mean, Boise State's a good matchup. They beat them. They blew them out. Texas State Bobcats. Woohoo. Wow, greatest team ever. Pretty bad. You had a pretty easy schedule, but they weren't expecting to do this. Schedule tougher opponents.
Well, yeah, that's basically it from that I like really wanted to talk about with that.
Yeah, so, oh, by the way, BYU's an independent. They ain't got a conference. They're in the independent division right now, so, I mean, there's nothing you can really do about that. So, let's see. Next thing I would like to talk about, oh, Sam Ehlinger. I think he is one of the better quarterbacks in all of college football. Definitely one of the better quarterbacks. that will be drafted soon. I really do believe that he is a good player. 2021 draft makes sense, yeah. I think he's another top five QB class. I think his QB class, he's a lot better than a lot of people think. I think a lot of people put them down. But I don't think that should be the case. I think this might be one of the better QB classes out of all the QB classes in NFL history. It has the potential. But Sam Ehlinger, that lost, was Idaho State? Their kicker, he almost made it. Cameron Dicker, that's what I was thinking about. He almost made that kick. It tailed off to the left last second. That would have been a huge kick to tie the game. But his magic couldn't bring it out. Dicker, the kicker, couldn't pull it out. All right, so last thing I'd like to say before we go to this college football. So last episode, we talked about Mercer. Mercer is actually in Georgia. We said it was in New Jersey. Completely disrespected them. They're actually a New Jersey team. I mean, no, sorry. They're actually from Georgia. They played Alabama. We talked trash, said they shouldn't deserve it. I understand why they did it. It's for the money. But that's Alabama. I'm really talking trash about Alabama scheduling the Mercer Bears. I'm sorry, Mercer. They're actually in Georgia. They're actually a Division I team. They're not a community college, like we said. We're sorry for saying that. But Mercer Bears, shout out to them. Hopefully they have a good year this year if they play. Go to the NFL now. You start us off.
Turkey Day games. Washington. Wow. Didn't think the Cowboys were going to lose that bad.
I don't think anyone thought
that. And Washington's in first. That division. Wow.
Not after this week. Giants will take it.
Just Antonio Gibson had a really good day. Definitely.
Yes, sir. Beautiful fantasy day for the boys.
And really, the only good player played for Dallas yesterday was Amari Cooper, which fantasy for me. But definitely a really bad game all around for the Cowboys, which it just solidifies that they really just for some reason, even though they have good wide receivers and a decent decent defense, they kind of rely on Dak Prescott a lot.
Yeah, their key to success is Dak Prescott.
Alex Smith, he's not doing too bad. He's leading them to some wins.
Yeah, he surprised me. I didn't actually expect him to do this good. I mean, coming off that devastating injury, I mean, you wouldn't expect someone to get injured. I mean, I felt so bad for him. And he's gotten a pretty speedy recovery, not going to lie.
And then the other game of the day.
It was the Houston-Detroit game. Houston blowout, 41-25. Detroit never really stood a chance, to be honest with you. Awful clock management at the end of the game. 3 minutes left. They could score, get a two-point conversion. They would be in the ballpark to score again with two timeouts left. Awful clock management, ran the ball down to 30 seconds and did not score a single touchdown. So, I don't know what's going on with Matt Patricia. I don't think he'll be there next year. I think he's a good coach, but he's not going to be there because he doesn't know how to manage the clock.
And I didn't really watch that game, but still, I thought maybe Detroit, I thought they might have put up a little bit more of a fight, but not really.
Yeah, I mean, MMG, shout out to him.
Yeah.
Detroit fan. Lifelong sadness. You feel bad for that guy. But did you see that play, the Texans and Lions? The Texans handed off to Duke Johnson Jr., and then he threw it backwards, and they got Will Fuller.
I did not, but that touchdown. Sounds like a very good play.
It was a crazy play. Will Fuller, Notre Dame guy, got to love him, but it was a beautifully run play. So it was a handoff to Duke Johnson Jr. Yeah, handoff to him. The blitz completely follows him, so it looks like he's about to be a negative, 7 yards? And then out of nowhere, he throws it back to Deshaun Watson, and I thought he was just hurtling it back. Deshaun Watson throws it to Will Fuller, wide open touchdown. Let me get that up for you. I mean, it was a wonderful play. I mean, it was a play you saw in many. You would see in many Turkey Bowl games. Are you seeing it? I mean, look, he's going to go back for 7 yards, throws it back to Watson. Watson launches it to Fuller, and it's beautiful.
That was a very good play.
That's beautiful. I mean, that's a work of art.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't expect to see that. I mean, I thought when he threw it backwards, I thought he was just trying to maybe Deshaun would run with it. I didn't really think anything was going to come from it, but it was a beautiful play. Beautiful, beautiful play.
So, last thing with football. Yeah, Ravens Steelers. What do you think about that situation?
That's a mess. The Ravens are getting COVID-19. I mean, I hope they all get speedy recovery. Lamar Jackson, hope he recovers quickly. But they're really delaying this game, and the Steelers are not
especially
happy
with that.
I mean, the Steelers,
they're the only team left with zero losses. So,
this is throwing them off.
I think if...
And I felt the most bad for...
I definitely the Steelers definitely would have won, I think, tomorrow. I mean, yesterday. No, I think they would have won yesterday if the game was still on. Because the Steelers are just such in a groove, and the Ravens look like they're just not what they used to be. That I feel like it's just, I don't think they would have had a chance. Now, I feel like even though, it's Robert Griffin in on Tuesday, I feel like now Baltimore has a little bit better of a chance because now the Steelers are – it really should.
It should be Trace McSorley.
It really, really should. Yeah, why not throw – if you're losing at the end of the game, throw him in. Throw him in the fourth quarter.
So that game, Tuesday. Steelers are angry. What I could see why they were so mad, because they had to stay in the team hotel on Thursday, so they were supposed to play on Thanksgiving, so they couldn't see their families. But since the game was canceled, they couldn't leave the hotel to go to their families. So now they're just stuck in this hotel by themselves. Wow. Well, I felt really bad for them for that.
That must be hard.
So, yeah. I always thought it would be hard to play on Thanksgiving because you're not with your family and you're just like, well, I don't know. I thought it would be very difficult to play on Thanksgiving. At least for
me. I feel
me,
the same. Just like be. Not having the day that, like, I'll say, like, all the other football players have that aren't playing on that day.
Yeah. Especially, like, what about Christmas? Playing on Christmas must really stink. Yeah, and that one must really get to you. I mean, you're not with your family on Christmas. Christmas is one of the most important holidays, depending on your religion, obviously, but still. All right. So our next topic of the day, let's get into boxing. You know, we haven't talked about boxing. I actually have an interest of boxing. It's a very interesting sport. So I saw this fight that's going down, and Mike Tyson is making his return. Do you believe that, Ian? Mike Tyson?
I think it's going to be definitely an entertaining one. They're both kind of on the older side, obviously, Mike Tyson and Roy Jones.
Yeah.
I really hope that they don't get injured. It's definitely a risk for both of them. But I think... Just, I feel like it's going to be a close one, but I feel like that something's going to happen because they're both, I know they've been training, but I feel like, you know, one of the most popular things of Mike Tyson, he bit a guy's ear off. So I hope that doesn't happen.
yeah.
Yeah.
You might get frustrated at the end.
But
Well, you know when Mike Tyson's last fight was? 2005.
wow, 15 years.
But it's going to be a very interesting fight. I think Mike Tyson might win. I mean, he might just overpower him with the Iron Mike, you know what I mean? Yeah, Roy Jones' last fight was 2018. So it's pretty recent. Roy Jones is actually 66-9 total record. That's pretty interesting. You know, he was actually born in Pepsi Cola, Florida.
Okay.
Pepsi Cola, Florida. Pretty interesting down there. I think Iron Mike will come out strong. I think he'll be better than ever, and he'll win. I don't think there's any doubt about it. But the most interesting fight in my mind out of all this is the Jake Paul Nate Robinson fight. Now, if many people don't know, Jake Paul, YouTube star, 20 plus million subscribers. He's dominated YouTube boxing now. I say he's about, if he wins tomorrow, he'll take over the title from KSI for best YouTube boxer. But Jake Paul versus Nate Robinson. And Nate Robinson, actually, three-time NBA dunk champion, dunk contest champion. He played for the Knicks. He played for the Bulls. He played for a bunch of teams. He's on the older side. Jake Paul, obviously, on the younger side. I believe Jake Paul will win.
Sam,
what do you think? Do you think he'll win?
I don't see, like, I watched some of Jake Paul's videos. Just seeing that, like, at least what he accuses of and shows of Nate Robinson, it doesn't look like he's, like, just, like, some of his punches are just, like, not, like, good. Like, that he's shown. It's...
Yeah, they're not...
Yeah, I just feel like he's not a boxer.
It's not popping.
Nate Robinson. And I feel like... I think Jake Paul's going to probably definitely win this. I think it's not going to go full. I think he's going to get him out of there as soon as...
Round one?
He said round... I think Jake Paul had said round one at one point. I think round two, to be honest. Yeah.
I think everyone just says round one. I mean, that's the coolest way to win. Maybe round two, maybe round three. Nate Robinson, though, Nate Robinson says he's an athlete. Athletes definitely have a different mindset than, like, normal people when it comes to competitive things. But I don't see a world where Nate Robinson wins. But here's my major question that I've been thinking about really recently. What happens to Jake Paul if Nate Robinson wins?
He's probably going to get really embarrassed. And I think he needs, like, he's going to go fully on the bandwagon of trying to fight KSI. That's what I think. I think either.
But if he loses, does that mess up the
KSI fight?
I think either.
I think no matter what, he's going to go heavily after KSI fight right after.
I mean, all right, if he wins, expect him to call out KSI at the end. Expect there to be drama.
Like that's his main goal. He beat his brother he beat his brother once. For some reason, I had it twice in my mind. I think Jake Paul just really wants to make sure to tell everyone that he wants to be the first, like the best YouTuber boxer. If he beats Nate Robinson, definitely. I think if he loses as well, because I feel like he's not going to get knocked out by him. I feel like it would go to the end, if anything. But I just believe that Jake Paul will probably just, no matter what, go after KSI in that fight because he wants, like, the best YouTuber boxer.
Yeah, so I was listening to Jake Paul, actually, on Logan Paul's podcast this morning on Impulsive. Posted on Thanksgiving, and he said that his number one target is KSI no matter what. But he also said that they've been trying to arrange a fight, but KSI wants more money. So KSI is asking for more money guaranteed with all the sponsorships and all that. So that's going to be interesting to see how the money plays out. Because if Jake Paul wins, I think KSI doesn't have a say anymore about what he wants. But if Jake Paul loses, KSI gets what he wants in the fight. So this fight really can tell the tale of what happens, Jake Paul, KSI. And I think that's what makes this fight interesting. Do I think Jake Paul will lose? No. Yeah. There's no way he loses. There's no way on this earth he loses. But if he does, there's that 1%, 2% chance that he does. Because Nate Robinson has that professional athlete mentality. All right, if he does lose, that's what throws off the whole KSI Jake Paul thing, because now they're kind of going at each other now, and expect a lot of trash talking. But I was also gonna say I don't know. And also another interesting thing about that fight is that KSI's trainer Vidal was actually supposed to fight on the undercard as well in another match for that I don't know what you call it. It's the card. So in boxing, you have a card and it tells you all the matches. In the undercard fight, like Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. are the top fights, and then everyone below it's called the undercard fights. You know what I'm saying? And then so Vidal, who's KSI's trainer, was supposed to fight, but he got an injury, so he can't fight anymore. Mm. That's interesting. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Sunday, we'll definitely give our perspectives. Hopefully, we'll have Joe back for Sunday. All right, so let's go to the NBA now. Just one quick topic we want to hit quick is Daryl Morey. I don't know how to say his name. I'm sorry, man. But former Rockets GM, now the president of basketball operations for the 76ers, supposedly when the Rockets fired him, everybody was going after him. NBA teams, MLB teams, and NFL teams. What do you think of that? That's pretty crazy.
I just really wonder why. Do you know if like James Harden was there since like they drafted him, right? So
Sorry, no, they didn't. The Rockets drafted him.
Wasn't he the GM of the Rockets?
Thunder.
Was he there when James Harden was drafted, or was it after?
I don't know. But I think they fired him because of the beef between him.
Yeah, I think I was James hearing something Harden. About that. Do you know,
Yeah, James Harden's always fed up every year. Every offseason, he says he wants something. He got Russell Westbrook last time. Now he wants to leave. I mean, I don't think you'll ever make him happy.
But I don't really see the main reason of why everybody would want him, like from every main sport. I just don't really see the interest.
Yeah, I mean, why do they think he'll be good at football and baseball if he's good at basketball? Football and basketball are two different things. And basketball and baseball are two completely different teams. There's so many members of a baseball organization that you have to manage and know about. And there's so many other personnel, players, people you have to have. So it's so much. There's so much going into it. Not like basketball. Basketball is much smaller. I don't think that would be a good fit for baseball.
Yeah, definitely. Is the Phillies signed their GM, right?
Phillies?
Because I'm trying to think of what MLB team would want. Seeing from a perspective wise, there's a lot of teams that already have their GM because they're going into the free agency. So.
Well, maybe they didn't want him as a GM. It said they did, but maybe they didn't.
Maybe. But yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah, baseball is definitely pretty different than NBA. And because NBA, you have five main spots on the team and then bench. On baseball, you have nine and bullpen and the rotation in the bench. So it's definitely very different. Especially football as well. You have so many more positions that say the GM, they need to know about the players. Like if that person is in one sport,
if they move over to the other, they might not know a lot about the
Yeah.
players and will be at a disadvantage to the other GMs or even the other stuff.
Yeah. I mean, that's just crazy. And then I just don't understand why a baseball team would want to hire, or a baseball or football team would want to hire a basketball GM. I mean, sure, he was good for when he was the basketball GM, but still, I don't know if that means he's going to be good at a different sport. So, you want to bring up Hassan
Yeah,
Whiteside?
I
What's
just
going on
had
with
seen
him?
that he was going to the Kings. They signed him. And just wanted to bring that up real quick. Just thought that it was interesting because they had traded Willie
Yeah.
Cauley-Stein, I think his name was,
Yeah.
last trade deadline. And Whiteside, I think, is a pretty good fit for them with their young team.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a interesting fit. He's 31 years old. 1 year contract was good for them. I always like to see when they give him a 1 year contract with a team option. I'm sure players don't like taking those team options at the end because they're not controlling their destiny. But still, it's a good 1 year deal. If he does good, you bring him back. If he doesn't, let him walk. Very good signing for the Kings. All right, so now I would like to bring up baseball. I kind of skip baseball. Well, we're gonna go to this last topic, last for baseball. We have three topics for baseball we'd like to talk about. So let's first, Aiden, let's talk about Randy.
Arozarena.
Our I can't say his last name. Arozarena.
Well,
Talk to us about
there's
him.
a whole drama going on. He went to Mexico after they lost the World Series, because that's where he went
Party?
to Mexico after they lost the World Series.
To party? To party?
Why the party? They lost. They lost.
I don't know. You
Well,
think he cares? He had the greatest playoffs in his career. He had the greatest season
I
of his
guess.
life.
But I feel like the main reason he wanted to go see his daughter. But here's the issue. Yeah.
Oh, his daughter's there?
He.
Oh, he's from
I'm not
Mexico.
sure, but I believe his ex-wife was. Or at least his. I don't know if it was his ex-wife or not. But basically, the main story is that
Okay.
he went to see them at the house and something happened that he brought a gift that the mother and her father did not like, and they got in an argument over it, and he left with their daughter. And then
Oh no. It's his
there
daughter. It's
it
fine.
was basically almost full custody to her. Or it was more, it was,
Okay, that makes
I think it
more
was basically
sense.
that
I
it's
was
like
gonna say.
half custody, but I think like she was supposed to take care of the daughter, like when he wasn't around. But
Okay.
basically that he took her without saying anything, and they were just, and then here's where like a lot of the misconfusion happened. When we first talked about it, you thought that he was arrested. It later came out
Yes, I thought he was
that
arrested.
he wasn't arrested. He was basically detained and was immediately put on parole and like to have a court date.
The reason I thought he was arrested because CBS Sports said he was arrested. So CBS Sports better get their
Yeah,
facts
it didn't
straight
make
over
sense.
here.
There was a lot of people that just in the titles of stuff, just putting that he was arrested. And then,
Well, I think when you hear detained, arrested, you think, when you hear detained, you're
yeah,
thinking arrested.
but basically the whole thing is that people thought he, what I'm getting from it now is basically that a lot of, like, they thought that he had harassed, and like forcefully took his daughter from like the daughter's mother and the mother's father. But now that what I'm getting from it is that he either just took it without force or the char like they're not going to force charges on whatever he did.
Yeah, I mean, I think Randy, he's a good player. He's a great player, actually. A lot of potential after what I saw from this year in this postseason. Because it's one thing for a rookie to perform in the regular season, but when they play in the postseason, that means they got something
Well, yeah,
else
he had
going
a
for them.
great regular season as well in that 60 games. And being a Yankees fan,
Yeah.
it was really hard to just see him almost every at bat hit a home run off of a Yankees pitcher.
Unfortunately.
But it was definitely, I feel like it's definitely going to leave a mark on his career.
Yeah, it'll definitely leave a mark. But if everything comes out that he did nothing wrong, and this is all nothing really, I think it'll just be an afterthought more than a mark.
Yeah, just like it'll be in like GMs and the coaches and the players, like in the back of their mind. Like maybe something did happen, but it never came out, you know? Like I feel like some players might,
Yeah, I don't
and
know.
like some people in the organization might think about that.
Yeah, but if it's his ex-wife, I think she would want to press charges if she knew he did something wrong. Unless he
Well,
paid
they
her
could also be
off, but
poor
I
and not
doubt
afford a
that.
lawyer. That could be also something too.
But just to clarify, he's Cuban, actually. He's not Mexican. So I don't know why he was in Mexico, I guess. Well, the daughter, I guess. But he's Cuban. I don't know why she was in Mexico, his daughter.
Maybe went to Mexico and met her there.
But.
I don't know. Would you like to talk about Charlie Morton next?
Oh, yes, Charlie Morton. Tell us more about Charlie now in
So,
Atlanta Brave.
just this is a thing that has happened before, and especially to our Yankees. I feel like pitchers that are older, over 35, do not deserve over $15 million
Yeah.
a year or $15 million, because you know that they're like with age you get worse most of the time, but
Yeah,
like
90% of the time.
he like J Happ is who I was talking about with the Yankees. That deal, as soon as I knew it was doing it, I didn't think it was going to be a good deal. He pitched horrible for the beginning of this season and then did better, but I just don't think he's a good pitcher anymore. Same with Charlie Morton. I think he's gonna pitch good at some points, but then at other points he's gonna like really be bad and not have a successful season. But I feel like the amount of money that was spent for one person for 1 year is kind of like he could use that somewhere else, especially for the Braves. Like if they don't re-sign Marcell Ozuna because they offered this guy so much money, I feel like it's, I don't know. What do you think?
Really?
Well, not Chris Bryant in his first 2 years, better. But right now, between the two of them, Luke Voit's better.
Wow.
And if when he comes back with his healed foot, he'll be better at defending. And I think he'll like if the Yankees have to trade him to get to just complete a deal that's like for Francisco Lindor, because I think Francisco Lindor will have a bounce back here this year if the Yankees can get him. That's good. But
Yeah, I don't know if they get him, cause they have Gleyber Torres, and if they bring back LeMahieu, they have Urshela in that infield. I don't really see them bringing in Lindor. I would
well, the
like
whole
it, but I
thing
don't see
would
the
be
purpose in it.
that most likely one of those infielders besides Gleyber, because he's like the guy for them, right? Like for the future. Like Urshela and Duhar or Voit would be put in that deal to get him, and then LeMahieu would go to first, Gleyber to second, Frankie to third to shortstop, and third would be Urshela. That's what it would be. But just, I think this is more just, I think it's a wait and see game with this, definitely. Just with all like the, with what's going on, just seeing what teams are willing to do this offseason, if they're going to stay more safe or go all out.
Yeah, I think there would definitely be some teams that go all out, some teams that stay safe. But I think The MLB is so, all the big signings happening so late. Like winter meetings, you always think, like, you always hype up, you always tune into MLB Network to watch what's happening for winter meetings, and there's barely any big signings around that time.
Yeah.
It's always, they always happen like really late. Players hold out. What, Manny Machado signed right before spring training? Same with
Yeah,
Bryce
Bryce
Harper
Harper
two
was
years
the cover
ago.
of 2019, and the first thing was him in just a jacket without a team. Yeah, the cover, yeah.
Yeah, and cover of MLB The Show. And he was wearing a jacket. But he hadn't had he didn't have a team for another, what, 3 months after the release of the game? That's yeah, it's definitely interesting. It's crazy that these players hold out for so long, but I guess they want to make their bags. Can't fault them
Definitely.
for that. I think they're re-signing Marcell Ozuna. I don't think that's the issue. I don't think money's the issue. I think it's a good addition for them as a pitching staff. Grow that young core over there. He's a good player, and it's a good thing because he can help them contend. He can also help them develop. So I think it's a win-win situation. $15 million is a lot to pay for a mentor, if that's the way you're thinking about it, but it's a decent signing.
Yeah.
Another thing, when you were saying about how players make a lot of money and they're older and all that, they sign to deals. You know Matt Harvey? Matt Harvey, so you know Matt Harvey. He's not didn't do that good. He was signed by the Angels for a contract that was worth more than the contract John Tavares got from the Toronto Maple Leafs.
It's weird how baseball handles older 1 year deal signings. And I was talking about the money, like you brought that up, that basically just with everything's going on, a lot of teams are in debt. That's why free agency is going to be very weird this year for baseball. So that's why I brought up the money aspect of like that maybe that could withdraw them from re-signing Ozuna because Ozuna's going to want a lot. Like that's $15 million that you could have used for him. Now it's kind of out of the drain. That
For
like
sure.
everything going on, you have so much debt that you need to pay that off as well. It's just they have less money that they would in an average season to work with.
Well, a corporation actually owns the Braves. It's actually owned by the Liberty Media Corporation.
Okay.
So I don't really think they're in debt too much. Maybe they are. I don't know. One ownership, one group of owners that was, I thought, was hit the hardest by this coronavirus in baseball during this wacky schedule was the Steinbrenners. Steinbrenners make their enterprise off of baseball. They don't have any other source of income. They don't own anything else. They don't do anything else. It's the Yankees and the Yankees only. And that's their only source of money. That's why they're so involved, because that's their main source of income. And by the coronavirus, it took major hits. So I thought that might shake things up with the Yankees. So far, it hasn't, thank the Lord. But we'll see. We'll see. Maybe the Yankees will be less of big spenders this year. But I think the Steinbrenners can pull through. I
I
think
think
they can.
definitely I want to see what goes on this weekend with Black Friday and stuff because like even though it's mostly just for buying stuff, there is still sometimes deals that go on for Black Friday. It's a weird thing, but they talk about it. Stuff goes on during Black Friday. So something could happen with
Yeah.
baseball. So hopefully on Sunday there might be some news. Maybe even with the Yankees, there's been rumors of trading Luke Voit, which I don't like at all, but just involved in everything. Maybe there'll be some new signings.
Let me ask you this. Luke Voit, Gary Sanchez for Chris Bryant.
Chris Bryant's too much of whatever the word is, the viability or whatever, because he can get injured very easily. And Luke Voit is what, almost around the same age as him, and he's so much, I feel like he's better.
So, all right, let's get into the big topic. This is probably going to be a long time, so stay in it. The Astros scandal. I'm going to let Aiden talk about this, and then I'll say my point of view. But I know we're a little late on the topic, obviously, but we wanted to make sure we had a podcast set up for this, and this is why we had not that many topics this time. Aiden, start us off with the Astros scandal.
So I'm just gonna go in chronological order of how like everything came out and stuff. This was really just started obviously in 2017, and even before, maybe there was rumors. But 2017, they used trash cans. They
Yes, they did.
basically cheated their way into winning that World Series against the Dodgers and probably the regular season and the postseason. That definitely came out. That was reassured by MLB.
Well, they definitely cheated their way through the postseason. I don't know about the regular season. I think it'd be too risky to
I
do it
think
all the
later
regular
I'm gonna
season.
say why I think they did. In 2018 and 2019,
Okay.
MLB looked into it. I have a beef against MLB and Rob Manfred. Rob Manfred is bad at his job. There's not anything, any argument that I can say that will reverse my mind on that. He's bad. He either, like, the MLB and him did not look far into it, or they just do not care. The punishment was weak. They're like, what was it? Like two first round picks and like a second pick and like money. And that was, and then firing the three guys or two guys, I mean, and get,
No, they didn't even get fired. They just got
yeah.
temporarily
But
banned.
it was, he, ne like, he needs to be replaced, and that's probably for another video as well. Me just ranting on Rob Manfred, but just going into it because he has made so many other mistakes, especially this season, that he's just like he can't show up. He's just not good, I feel like, for the job. But that's for another video.
Yeah.
But because it's for the
He's
Astros,
all right.
Altuve hit that home run off of Chapman. That was the buzzer. I don't think it was his wife not wanting it. The public to see his chest.
Yeah, that was all nonsense. What is wrong with his stomach that his wife doesn't want to see let the world see his stomach?
I think it came
What's
out that there
so
was
wrong
he had
about it?
some birthmark near there, which is so stupid as well.
I bet I could find 50 pictures of Jose Altuve
Exactly.
shirtless.
And but yet again, what happened? They didn't look far into it, I believe. Like that clip, which was blatantly showing that he didn't want to take off his shirt, was holding that one area, and you can see something sticking off of it. What else is that? Unless you're hiding some bandage that you got injured somehow up there, that like you didn't want the MLB seeing it, which yet again, bandage could have been buzzer. I think he cheated there, and I think there was no real evidence for 2018. But I believe they cheated in 2018 as well, because why would they have a good, like, the whole thing is that they had good players, but they made bad decisions. That was the whole motto of everything. But yeah.
They definitely built a good team. They built a great team. Did they build a World Series winner? In their mind, probably not because they had to cheat. If they thought they built a World Series winner, they would not have cheated. They would not have done this. This would be completely, like, this would have never happened. This would have been completely fine. There would nothing happen. But they felt the need, I guess, that they didn't have the team that could win. And they had to cheat. That's what it comes down to at the end of the day.
And just two of the players that really, in like those speeches that they gave after it came out, just really just
Nonsense. Alex Bregman and George Springer were the. That's complete nonsense. They were tend to say that because if they didn't say that, they would have been dropped and banned
no,
from the league, probably.
the fans
They
who say
had to
that,
say that.
no, he wouldn't. Rob Manfred apparently does everything, seems like it.
No, Rob Manfred would have made them say that. He would be like, all right, everybody, let's just be really sad that you did that, and then everything
Yeah, we're
will
not
be okay.
going to do anything to you or your contracts. Don't worry, you're fine, and all of this. He probably did have, like, a big, like, talking to them and just said, hey, you're good. We're not going to do anything to you personally. But what I was going to say is that Carlos Correa and Josh Reddick, they
Yes.
both are not good people, I believe.
What do you mean
Their
good they
personalities
their
in that. Josh
personalities?
Reddick wasn't sorry. Josh Reddick was literally not sorry.
I don't
No,
think
but I mean,
anyone on
like,
that team is
openly
sorry.
about it. That's what I mean. Like, actually, like, in their speeches, not.
Well, would you rather him not be sorry or him go out and be sorry but you
No.
know he's not sorry? Rather than go, oh, I'm so sorry, guys. I totally did not mean to do that. Would you rather him say, I really am not that
No, what
sorry
it
for
goes
what
back
I
to
did?
is that they weren't sorry for cheating. None of them were. They cheated, they knew about it. No matter what they say, they knew about it. So it goes back to that.
Yeah.
But it really is that Josh Reddick's speech was ridiculous. He should have at least said something different, not just saying, hey, I'm not sorry, that's it. And any question they asked, it just he wasn't sorry. And then Carlos Correa defending Jose Altuve. Look at Jose Altuve's regular season stats. He did horrible, except in like those last five games. I
Yeah,
believe Jose
definitely
Altuve
overrated.
is so
He's
overrated that
overrated.
he's not even like close to being any like he should be. He's not better than who even is the best second baseman in the league? But to be honest, DJ LeMahieu is. I feel like at this point.
For sure. If his primary position is considered first base, sorry, second base, he's
Definitely.
definitely the best second baseman in the
He's
league,
not anywhere
without a
close to
doubt.
him. I don't care what you say. Literally, he is not. Jose Altuve, I think, literally was only good with the cheats. I think he used cheats for his whole career. I could be wrong, but seeing what I'm
His whole
so seeing what
career.
I had seen from this season, Jose Altuve is either was just really sad about what happened because it basically all of them were sad that they got caught. That's what they were sad about. So
Yeah, they're all
either
said they got
it was
caught.
probably DJ LeMahieu just didn't. What am I saying, DJ LeMahieu? Jose Altuve was just so. Was either he's a bad player or he was just so, like caught up in him, and like realizing that nobody likes him anymore. Like,
Yeah,
which I
I
guess
mean,
could be it, but I just don't honestly see that. But what do you think about
for
Jose
sure.
Altuve?
I think he's a cheater. I don't think he's that good. I think he needs to cheat because he's so small.
Yeah, I feel like he just is not and just going back with Jose Altuve, just he stole the MVP from Judge. He did. Judge deserved it.
Oh, yeah,
It
for
was
sure.
just
Judge 100% deserved it.
literally, and I'm just saying it was his best season so far. He's had injuries. If he just keeps getting injuries, I don't know if he has another chance to get an MVP. Which, if I'm Judge, I would be very angry. And it's just, he stole it, and it seemed like they were good friends, like showing that picture, or like at least kind of like at least knew each other to be like friendly with each other.
Well, I think they just knew each other. I don't really think they were
Just like,
friendly.
how many people did you ruin like your baseball relationships with? Every single one of you. No.
Well, I don't think anybody likes those Astros players now. The only people that like the Astros, those Astros players on that team are them are their teammates on the old Astros team, the 2017 Astros team. Only people that like them are the 2017 Astros.
I mean, honestly, just seems like Carlos Correa, like, just wants to be played as the bad guy for the rest of his career, because he just keeps saying stuff. It's like, did you see what the one comment he made in the playoffs? That, like, look at us now. We did all of this without cheats now. You say that, it's not that, like, you're being, you know, you just want the attention. Like, we all get that. You just seem like you just want the attention, and you don't really care about being, like, looking good. So, I don't know, what do you think about Carlos Correa? Because I, even if he's a good player, my mindset of him is just, like, he's not a good person. He's a good player, but he's not a good person. What do you think?
I don't know. I think he's a good player. I'm not really too sure about his personality. I think he's a good player, though. I think he's underrated.
I just feel very strongly about this, because if you look at how many pitchers this could have affected in, like, the large scale of, like, if they did cheat 3 years straight.
Well, this ruined players' careers. There was players that either didn't get opportunities or are now thought as not as good because they did not perform well against them. They ruined people's careers. Exactly. For sure.
They weren't sorry. They were only sorry that they
got caught. Every single one of them were just sorry that they got caught. So it just – that's why it got me very angry, because I don't like to see players' careers get wasted because they were thrown off their team because they didn't have one good start against the team that was cheating. And that's what happened. There was players that did. And now they might not ever come back to MLB. That's why I do not like Carlos Correa, because he's basically the most vocal out of all of them when he does not need to be vocal. Just don't say anything.
Yeah.
Like, just don't.
This was the biggest scandal in baseball history since the Black Sox scandal.
It just makes me upset and angry that, you know, like with the Red Sox, if they could have done something with it, as like had something with it.
Oh, yeah.
No, it was never confirmed as well. Because it was more close to
when
Corona started, COVID-19. So basically, MLB just needs some more focus on how they're going to deal with the MLB season. So they basically just went off of that, I feel like. It's probably never going to be revisited again. I feel bad for the Dodgers, but at least they got a World Series. Definitely good for them.
They should have at least
one. They probably should have deserved maybe a third one as well. Definitely a topic that some people might take a lot harder than others, or more serious than others. That's what I meant to say.
So, I mean, we had a good podcast today. Actually, you know what? No, I want to end with one question. Nate, I want to ask you this question first, and then you can ask me a question. What is one piece of sports memorabilia you would wish you would own? One piece, a ball from a certain play, a thing from a certain event. Like, what is one thing you'd like to
have that trash can the Astros used.
I had a feeling you're going to say that.
I would drum on it every night. And I would imagine that Jose Altuve and all the players on that team could hear me, and they would do so good in that game during the night.
Yeah, you guys could have a secret code. Garbage exactly. can code.
But yeah, I'll just ask you the same question. What piece of sports memorabilia would you like to own?
I think there's definitely a few I would like to own. I've been thinking about it. I couldn't really figure out one specific one I would like to own, but one. I think this would definitely be really cool to own. Was when it's a football when Vince Young ran in to score the touchdown, ending USC's 34 game winning streak to win the title in the 2006 Rose Bowl. When he ran in and the football he had, I'll show you the play. It's a really cool play. And I would really love to hold that football and have that. I'd also like to have some Notre Dame memorabilia. Maybe football from the Notre Dame Clemson game. But I think the Vince Young USC football would be crazy. I mean, I'll show you the play. I'm going to unzoom it. But it's a crazy play, and I think that football would be so cool to have. They're losing in the Rose Bowl by like 6, and there's like 20 seconds left. Knocked off number one USC, and I hate USC. So I mean, that was a beautiful play. So I think that's gonna wrap up our podcast for today. I'd like to thank everyone who listened. Remember what I said? We'll upload at least weekly. You know, we're gonna have some more time now because of some events that have been going on in our lives. So maybe a little more than recent. You know, we had break from school, so we thought it'd be good to get this podcast out now. And yeah, so thank you everyone for listening to today. Hopefully we'll be back Sunday with another episode. And bye.